please stand for the reading of God's Word. Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 18. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. We have sown spiritual seed among you. Is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Cody, if you want to go to the next slide. Which posture describes the way that you live your life? Would you describe your life as an open hand that you give of yourself freely to others and are able to offer yourselves up as a living sacrifice to God? Or do you live your life as a closed fist, where you hold on to yourself, your rights, your responsibilities tightly as to not give them up for the sake of the gospel and of the work that Christ has given to you? This is kind of the idea that Paul's getting at in this passage. As human beings, this can be kind of hard to transition from what we've often been taught, which is to hold on to everything that you've made of yourself in this life, that if you've done the hard work putting in to work and gaining wealth and accumulating it for yourself, that you shouldn't offer it freely to those around you, that if you try to live your life well and you've been given the rights that we have as Americans, well, you don't give of those rights up easily. It's kind of built within us to want to hold on and to hoard things for ourselves, especially if we see it as a right that we have as a human being or as an American, and we don't want to give those rights up just to anyone. Maybe an everyday example of this that might resonate with you is something that I tend to do when I'm driving around those orange construction cones that you see all over the highways, and it seems like every single road this year it has some construction on it. And sometimes when you're on those bigger highways, or I know Mulford's kind of been one of those ones in Rockford that's been redone, parts of it throughout this year, and Mulford's one of those roads that has two lanes going in each direction, and during this construction time, those orange cones were set up so that you go down to one lane, so two lanes have to go down to one lane, and you know that brings out the best in people when that happens. That even if you know it's happening, maybe there's a sign that tells you like a mile down the highway that you're going down to one lane, and maybe you're one of those drivers that, well, you see the sign, you know it's going to happen, so you get over early, you make sure that you're in the right lane to just keep on going straight through there, and you kind of get upset when you see somebody zip past you in the other lane, and at the last second, maybe they kind of work their way through into your lane. And maybe once you get up to those cones and it's going down to that single lane, I find myself sometimes getting as close to that guy in front of me so that I don't let anyone else merge into it, because I did it the right way, didn't I? It's my right that I should be or get ahead of that other car that didn't do it the right way, right? They were in that lane until the last second, and maybe they think they can break some record speed getting through there by doing it that way, but I don't have a bumper sticker that says I'm a Christian on the back of my car, but I'm wondering if I would act differently if people knew that I was a Christian. That maybe those 30 seconds that I saved by not letting that car in, maybe it wouldn't be that big of a deal for me. Even if I did it the right way and I got over early, I made sure that I was anticipating the construction that was ahead, that maybe I can just set that aside for a moment and let that car in front of me. This is kind of the idea that Paul is getting at in this passage today, that it was every right for him to ask from them and to receive from them for the ministry and work that he was doing, but he saw that that wasn't the important thing in that moment or in that place, in that culture, and decided to set that aside for a time as to not hinder the gospel of Christ being shared in that place. Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide, there's some context that's helpful for us to understand what's going on in this passage. And you kind of have to understand a bit about teachers during that day. Oftentimes, if you were someone who wanted your message to be really understood by people in the Roman and Greek culture, that you wouldn't necessarily have people pay to hear you. That you would go into the open places in that society, into the amphitheaters, and you would have this time and you would kind of give your philosophy of how the world works and how life is supposed to be. And you should live in a way that kind of reflects that. And the thinking was that if you didn't ask for anything in return to support your life and your philosophy of the way things were supposed to be, that you could kind of show then that it was true by being able to sustain yourself without getting help or receiving help from others. So Paul, kind of knowing this background context as he's going into the church in Corinth, that he didn't want to take a salary from them because he thought that that might hinder the gospel and work among them. But then there were these competing ideas, because those who were Jewish before they became Christians, well, they knew the Old Testament law, and they knew that God had put in place that those who were set apart for service, the Levites, were supposed to take a salary, you would say, from the Israelite people, that they would take a portion of the offerings and that would be for them to eat, that they were supposed to take a portion of any other commerce that happened and kind of set that aside for the Levite people because they lived their life in service of God. And it seems like the apostles took that idea in the Old Testament and brought it forward into the New Testament, and they were wanting to be provided for their work. And Jesus even says this in the Gospels, that you, when you go to a village, that you should go to a house, and if you're received in that house, that you should stay there and kind of live from them and the goodness that you have received from them until you go to the next place. So Jesus built in this idea that you should take care of the apostles and those who preach the gospel to you. But Paul is saying, well, that may be my right to do that. It may be my right to ask for you to give me food and drink and clothing and make sure that I'm taken care of as I'm among you. It's my right to take a believing spouse if I want to, just like Peter and some of the other apostles have done. And it seems that because he had stepped back from some of those rights that he had, that some of the church in Corinth were questioning his authority as an apostle. That maybe he wasn't quite as good of an apostle as Cephas, Peter, or some of the others, because he wasn't asking for money, for clothes, for a spouse to help him in ministry. Paul is saying, those are all my rights to do. I could ask for all of that. I could take for myself a believing spouse to help me on this journey, but I've reasoned that it's better for me to leave those rights aside so that nothing stands in the way of preaching the gospel to you as a people and to the greater culture at large. And he's kind of picking up on this idea that he talked about, that we talked about last week, that, remember, it was more within the church this time, but if I'm a hindrance to my brother, then maybe I should give up some of those rights and freedoms that I have as a Christian so that I don't hinder my brother or sister from growing in the faith. And last week he used that example of meat sacrificed to idols, and those who were weaker Christians or baby Christians in the faith didn't understand that the meat that was sacrificed in the temple of another god was just meat to us as Christians, because other idols are nothing but human creations. But they still had a trouble with that, understanding that. So Paul was like, don't cause a brother or sister to stumble. It may be your right to eat that meat that was sacrificed to idols, but maybe it's better if you don't, if you can help your brother or sister grow in Christ without eating it. Paul's taking that idea and saying, for the greater culture now, those outside the church, make sure that you're living in a way that doesn't hinder the gospel and the message that Christ has for them. So maybe even if it is your right, if it doesn't help the gospel being preached, then maybe set that aside for a time and allow the gospel to speak without being shaped by the way that you live, if it doesn't fit that culture. He's telling them not to cling to their rights, but to offer them up freely so as to preach the gospel for them. It's a powerful message to people that it may be my right to do this, maybe my right to block that person from coming into my lane through that construction. But if I give that up and allow that person in, not only tells me that maybe I don't need to worry about this quite as much as I thought so, but it's a more powerful message to that person that maybe they were anticipating having to fight and nudge their way in to get into my lane, but if I just let them in, maybe they'll think twice about how they live and go about their life. You never know. Probably not. They're going to drive that way regardless, but that's a little thing. When we're talking about bigger things like the gospel and how we live as Christians in our world, in our culture, they may see things differently. Some of those rights that we like to hold on to and cling to, maybe it's something like prayer in schools. Yes, that's a good thing, and don't hear me wrong here. I would hope that kids do pray in school and ask God to help them in their studies, but when we as Christians try to fight to get the teachers to pray in our schoolrooms, for those who aren't Christians, they see that as us fighting for a right to oppress their children. Maybe that hinders the gospel a bit. Maybe that's not the best way to go around it, even if it is our right to freedom of speech. That maybe instead of demanding our teachers to pray, that we would teach our children to pray, and when those opportunities present themselves for our kids to speak into other kids' lives and to say, hey, I know you're going through a rough time right now, let me pray with you. Because that's something that we can do freely in America, and it probably has a bigger impact on your kids' friends than a teacher in front of a classroom. The same thing could be said perhaps about the Ten Commandments being posted outside of a government building somewhere. Yes, I hope that our government reflects those Ten Commandments and the rest of God's commandments, and I think that would be the best way for government to function because God has given us that in His Word as the way for us to live. But again, what's better if we just post it there and hope that people see it? Or do we live a life that reflects the Ten Commandments and the rest of God's law and allow people to see the effects of living a life in order with how God wants us to live? It's one thing to put them up on a wall. It's another thing to live them out each day. And I think it speaks more if we live it than if we just put it up on a plaque. Maybe a right to do that, but maybe there's a wiser way to go about it and to not hinder the gospel so much. So Paul challenges us here, if we cling to our rights, if we hold closely to those things that we know are right, does that maybe hinder the gospel and its flourishing? Bodhi, if you want to go to the next, Pat. Paul defends his right as an apostle. He doesn't say that, well, I don't have the right to any of these things. We do have the rights to free speech in America, and we should try to protect it. We do have the right to say and speak what the gospel has for us, and we should be bold in doing that. We have to do it in a way that's wise for us to speak it and doesn't hinder us by maybe we preach one thing, but then we live another way, and, well, that will hinder the gospel even more than if we preached it and lived out what we were saying. So Paul says, for this context, in this place, maybe it's good for Peter and the others to demand these rights that they have, but for me in this place, at this time, in this culture, I'm going to lay down those rights because that is a visible picture for the church in Corinth and for the people around in Corinth to see the gospel lived out. Paul isn't just laying aside these rights because they think it'll better himself. If he's bettering himself, he's really not laying down his rights. But he's laying down these rights to be a picture of Christ to these people. Because you have to remember that Christ gave up, humbled himself, came to earth, lived just as any other human has lived, even though he's fully God, fully divine, had all power and authority in heaven and on earth to do whatever he wanted, but yet he gave that up and humbled himself so that he might come to earth and die on our behalf. Philippians chapter 2 says he humbled himself even to the point of death, even death on a cross, about as humble as you can get. And Paul wants to show that he follows in this humility. That just as Christ died for us and for our salvation, Paul wants to show the church in Corinth that he's able to give up every right that he has as long as he knows that it will help the gospel message be preached in that place. Because his focus is not on gaining power and authority for himself or making his life more comfortable. His one goal in life is to preach the gospel as clearly as he can. He's able to give up, wants to give up everything so that the gospel might be preached in a way that the people around him can hear it, receive it, and grow in it. He's not looking for the earthly rewards in this life. Giving up our authority won't make us any more powerful in this world. It'll actually probably make us less powerful. But our goal in this life isn't power and authority. It's not being visible to those around us, but it's preaching Christ Jesus and glorifying him. That's our reward. And we can do that because we know that we are found in Christ Jesus and in his grace, that no one's opinion of us matters because we are loved by Christ Jesus. That it doesn't matter how we're viewed here on earth, as long as we're viewed as one loved by Christ Jesus, that shines the gospel in everything that we do and say. So just as Paul laid down his rights as an apostle so that the gospel might be clearly preached without hindrance of himself, for us today as Christians, we should be willing to give up our rights so that the gospel might be clearly preached in the way that we live and speak. Because our reward, our wage, as it says in verse 18, is the joy of preaching Christ to those around us. Christian freedom doesn't mean that we use our self-entitlement, but Christian freedom means that we give of our love to others. Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide. So what does this mean for us practically? It means that we should be discerning in this life, that maybe all those rights that we've been given, that we need to figure out the best way to preach the gospel with or without those rights. That yes, we have the right to free speech in America, and that is a blessed thing that we have. But just because we have that right, we need to use it with wisdom. Sometimes it'll mean speaking up in those situations that may be a bit nerve-wracking or anxiety-driving for us, those moments where we're visible out there. But other moments, it may be that we give it up so that we might live it in a different way, that we might preach it through our actions and maybe not by our speech. Or in our family, it means that we serve in a way that shows Christ Jesus. That maybe with our family we're not doing things just for our benefit or our comfort, but we're asking ourselves, for my loved one, how can I show Christ to them in how I live and in what I say in this moment? That might mean that your ego takes a back seat in that argument that you keep going back to. It may mean that in the situation that you would hoped you would have gotten your way, that you be Christ to them and give up yourself so that they may see Christ in you. In our workplaces, it means that our work has to not hinder the gospel. That maybe in your workplace, you have a policy that doesn't really let you speak of your faith there. But maybe even though you can't speak it, you can still live the gospel in that place. Maybe if it is even right that you can share your faith in that place, yes, speak it, but also live it out so that they can see that living example of Christ in that place, just as Paul gave up some rights. Maybe it's possible for you to show your faith by being a servant to those that you work with. I think in the church also, it means that it's not about our egos or about us becoming elders or deacons, kind of those who are seen as leaders, guides in the church. Maybe that's not what we should be striving for, but strive to serve God, to be the servant to others, even if you don't get the recognition for it that you think you should deserve. We can live this way and we can give of ourselves freely because our worth is in Christ Jesus and not in our recognition here on earth. Bodhi, if you want to go to the next one. So if we picture this type of living that Paul calls us to in this chapter, in the church here, in this place, imagine a church that we may have the right to do as we want and please. We have those freedoms in Christ Jesus, but maybe we hold them with an open palm rather than a closed fist. That we have the wisdom to discern, well, when do we take a stand for God and the gospel, or when do we hold our hand freely, because even though it's our right, maybe it's not helpful in that moment to shine Christ Jesus. To take that page out of Christ's playbook and say, I'm going to humble myself even to the point of the cross, so that others might see Christ in me. It's that community that mirrors the Christ-like sacrifice. That Christ didn't care if people came to worship him as he lived his life on earth. He actually told people to kind of keep his divinity under wraps because he knew that that would only draw a crowd and make his name greater on earth, and that wasn't his mission. His mission was to go to the cross for us and our salvation. And what are we looking for in life? Are we trying to make our name great and have people come and live in a way that we want, or are we pointing people to Christ Jesus? To witness where the gospel shines brighter than our pride. So Bodhi, if you want to go to the last slide. Here's the main point. Because Christ gave up his rights for us, we can gladly give ours up for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Our action point. How should we live in light of this truth? We live in a manner that enables the gospel to thrive and not impede its growth by the way that we live. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that in your grace you sent Christ Jesus to walk in our shoes. And God, we're thankful that he was able in humility to come to live a life like us except for sin. And that in his humility that he took it upon himself to die on the cross for us in our place for our salvation. And God, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we pray that we're able to humble ourselves as well, to give freely of ourselves and our rights, as long as it enables the gospel to be preached more clearly and boldly for you. God, we pray that we might discern with wisdom when is the time to hold on to those rights and when might it be a time to give up those rights so that you might be preached, that God might be seen through our actions and people might come to faith in you. God, we pray that our pride, our ego may not get in the way of your message. May Christ shine through us in our speech and in our action. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.